Hey, this is Tom Waltz, IDW's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles writer, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Curno, Chief Turtle Editor at IDW Publishing, and you are going to have a shell of a good time inside the pull bag.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Don't worry, I came prepared. Put those away.
Hello and welcome to the pull bag. This is episode 576, and this is Mutant March here in the GeekCast Radio Network's comic book and discussion-based podcast. We review comics here inside the pullback. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me once again, as always, is Mr. Joe Reed. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello. I am good.
That's good. That's good. Tonight, today, whenever you find people listening to this, this is TMNT Reborn Volume 6 Game Changers from IDW Publishing. And we're doing this a little differently, folks. We are screen sharing this. This collects so volume 6 originally published as TMNT Annual 2022, TMNT issues number 131 and 132, and TMNT Free Comic Book Day issue 1 2022. So the creative on this: Juni Ba for part 1, Sophie Campbell for parts 2 and 3, Tom Waltz on part 4 for story. For art on part 1 is Juni Ba, Pablo Tunica on parts 2 and 3, Sophie Campbell on part 4, Rhonda Pattison. Make sure I pronounce that with my consonants, as Morgan Freeman would say. Colors, Rhonda Pattison on parts 1 through 3. Sophie Campbell did colors for part 4. I find that interesting.
Interesting.
Yes. Letters. Oh, this is interesting. Letters done by Mr. Sean Lee for parts 1 through 3. And then Sophie did her own letters for part 4. That's interesting to me. Sean has always done the letters.
I'm looking at four single issues in front of me. You're looking at the trade. And
yeah,
I'm
you should just be looking at my screen.
Two and three, and which ones were four, and which did Sophie do?
So from what I can tell, part one is the annual. Parts 2 and 3 are 132 and 131 and 132, and then part 4 would be Free Comic Book Day.
And I'm interested in what is going to happen with your Free Comic Book Day issue there, because the story itself in that is only 5 or 6 pages, and then it reprints Mirage issue 1.
Yeah.
Or actually, it doesn't reprint all of it. It reprints the first battle, now that I look at that. So they reprint part of it, and I noticed that they're not exact. Yeah. Eastman and Laird aren't credited in this book, so you might not have that reprint.
Story Consulting, Eastman, and Waltz is what I have for credits in the trade. Covers done by Pablo Tunica, series assistant edits done by Vanessa Reel and Nicholas Nino, series edits done by Bobby Curnow and Charles Beecham. Collection edits done by Alonzo Simon and Zach Boone. Collection group edited done by Chris Simon. And the collection design was done by Sean Lee. I think we mentioned this last time in episode 575. Bobby Curnow, editor-in-chief at IDW Publishing as of last year in 2024, I believe. Congratulations, Bobby. Welcome back. We know you're not just there for Turtles anymore, but welcome back. So, yeah, back to form for annual 2022.
Yes. I realized I've had this book for,
2 years.
3 years, 2 years.
3 years, three, no, and 3 years, two, yeah. I didn't keep forgetting read it it's, yeah.
Until this.
You never.
It was, well, you know, this was where I started definitely, I was off the wagon. I had fallen off the thing. And I think between my old comic book store closing, I'll miss you, Outer Limits, and my new comic book store picking up, there were just issues that I missed, and I must have missed this and bought it recently enough that I didn't read it right away. Oh, I see three variant covers in here that I need. I need at least that second one. Oh, man. But yeah, it, so this is like a, this feels like filler story to me. I don't know what the purpose of annuals are. Like, I know every once in a while I'll see a Superman annual, a Daredevil annual, and I'm not sure what they're, why that's a tradition in the comic industry. You know?
I think it's, I personally think this story was to kind of launch, and not really launch, but it was to get somebody new in. Mm-hmm. It's to get, like, if you look at this, like, we're going to look at this as I'm showing you my screen here. So, listeners, we're showing, like I said, I'm showing Joe my screen. So, we're actually looking at the trade paperback together.
Yep.
So, this to me reads like volume one. This to me reads like year one of Turtles, because it opens with Leo's monologue. And it opens with them going from rooftop to rooftop, and it opens with him having self-doubt and dealing with all of this stuff. And the only thing I didn't understand here, the thing that confused me, was the graves.
Yep.
I'm not sure what the graves are for. I mean, okay, I know what graves are for, folks. Trust me, I understand that. But I don't understand who the Marine Thomas Croft is.
The green spooky gas that's creeping around that second one on that page, it's one of the reasons that they're at a cemetery, but I don't know why. I couldn't tell immediately why Leo was taking them on this mission to go to the cemetery.
Well, it's something to do with the emotions or something or other. I don't know. It's weird. It's a thing. I like this shot here on, this is in the trade, folks. This, we are looking at page, I almost thought that was an 18, it's a 10. We're looking at page 10. I love this middle shot here, and this middle panel as the gas is following them, because it's the four of them. Donnie's leading, Mikey's in the second middle raft, and Leo bringing up the back end of the group, because out of all of them, Mikey is the most colorful. Which shows to me that the other three have way more negative emotions going on than Mikey does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mikey's gotten deep, obviously. We know Mikey's a very deep character, but that coloring, it's kind of a telltale sign, in my personal opinion,
of where this story's going and what they're going to be dealing with. Very interesting noticing, and that's totally true. I chalked up. And yeah, because he's not that way in some of the other panels, but that one, it's definitely heightened. The designs and Junie Ba's art is more reminiscent of the 2012 series. There's a lot of pullback from that.
Yep.
They mentioned Raph, Leo, somebody, when they were jumping from building to building, said, "Oh, it feels nice to be in the old gear."
Yeah.
So they've stripped them of those, of like kind of the normal clothes that the Turtles have been wearing in Mutant Town.
Yeah.
So I think you're right that this book is intended to.
It's to get
tell people where they came from.
Yeah, it's to get new readers,
but to make it familiar enough for new readers.
Yeah, it's an original story where, like, originally, before I really noticed I noticed the green grass. Wow, the green gas. I noticed the green gas. I thought the green gas was something the Rat King was going to start using. Like, literally, these lines: your fear, your grief, your pain. I thought that was going to turn out to be the Rat King.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's not what this is. But essentially, that's what annuals are usually for. Annuals and one-shots and spotlights and things like that. Hell, free comic book day
free
issues.
Free comic book day, yeah.
I mean, obviously, this is the annual here at the front of the trade. This is not a free comic book day issue. But all of that is to get the person who isn't already reading this into this, which is more than fine. And I mean, I'm fine with this. I love the story. I thought this was cool. I thought this was interesting. I thought this was great. And I mean, look at these colors, man.
Yeah.
Fighting this. They're trying to fight this demon thing, and it's not working because it's anticipating each of their moves. And this is...
I owe it to this story to go back and reread it. Because yeah. I think I missed a lot. And
it's a good story. I only read it once, and I got it because the only reason why I got it was because I was like, oh, okay, this is what they're doing. So this monster thing, this thing that deals on their pain and their grief and their negative emotions, they figure it out that it is getting them individually, and they have to work as a team. Well, what is the one way that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles work as a team? What's the one way they do that, Joe?
They focus on the family and rebuild their bonds.
Okay, there's that, but what's the other way? What's the physical way that we always tell the...
They go camping.
No.
Powwow around a fire.
No.
Well, that's kind of what they're... I mean, I think that's what they're doing. But, they get their butts kicked by this thing.
Yeah,
and
they
then
get
escape to recuperate, to regroup, and then they're dealing with their emotions and talking to each other. And
right, you're absolutely right, absolutely. But what's the so this thing went after them as individuals?
Yep.
This thing attacked each of their individual negative emotions. What is the one thing these four brothers could do to confuse the hell out of this thing?
You're going to have to say it, man, because my brain's not lined up. I'm reading it. I'm right here. I promise. They're going to work together, but they're working through their own stuff first.
Dude, look at the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
What's the one thing they can fucking do?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't notice. They're all in red again.
My dad bought me a new office chair for Christmas, one that's going to last me hopefully for the next 10 years. I literally had the absolute opposite visceral reaction to what I had 11 years ago.
Oh, man. That must have been awesome. See, it's so ubiquitous to me to see them in red and in colors. I'm looking at this page and I didn't even notice.
When I saw it was coming after, even though they were working together, it was attacking them individually because it was looking at them as individuals. It was looking at their individual negative, because each of their individual negative reactions is different from one another. So what's the one way they're going to confuse this thing? Put one color on. And what's the one color? Out of 41 years, 41 years of history of turtles that they'll put on to confuse the hell out of an enemy.
It's red. Or a reader.
Yeah.
That, oh my God. And like it's pages and pages of this battle.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even notice because I can still look at them.
Uh-huh. And
it's a blonde, brunette, redhead. It's like I see the code. Wow. Well done, Junie.
That's right. Absolutely. Like, literally, I my reaction was, oh, fuck yes.
You're a convert now, Mike.
No, I'm not a convert. But in this moment, in this story, because that's what they had to do. And it worked. And it's awesome. Very cool. Well, this is a good annual story. This is a good way to... I still will tell people to go back to
TMNT
number one. Well, you know, always go back. But to really, like, wet somebody's whistle to get somebody interested, I would tell them read this. Absolutely. Because it's a nice little one-off story that doesn't really need them to really read the last 11 years, but if they wanted to, you always start at the beginning. And then look, at the bottom, we're back in, you know, we're back in the normal.
Oh my gosh.
See?
I can't believe I didn't notice that.
And he calls himself a turtle fan. How dare you? and this killed me. This killed me. So, excellent writing here. So, let's go home. They go back to the sewer lair, which apparently they haven't been back to in years. And we see them in color with the orange and the purple and the blue and the red. Oh, welcome home, my sons. And here we're thinking, because we know that Splinter, in the actual continuity of the book, he's actually gone, even though in this he's gone too. God, that killed me.
Yeah.
That just destroyed everything. Just crazy. I was trying to see what this stuff was. This black stuff was something, but I guess not. And I, go ahead.
It's an interesting change for that panel. There's got to be a reason for that.
Yeah, I was hoping some sort of explanation, but it doesn't seem to be. And I love how they do the internal monologue with each turtle saying something, but it's throughout the. So.
Yeah, I want to hear that. I think this would be wonderful animated.
Yeah, it would be.
And hearing the monologue in each of their different voices coming through.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, now, is it just me, or are they, isn't the line, strike hard and fade away without a trace?
That's the line in the movie. Fade away into the night is the line from the comic.
Okay, it's fine, but I always hear the other line. But anyway, for those who have not read this, spoilers, which you all should know by now, if you're this far into the podcast, we are spoiling the hell out of it. And this comic is 2 years, 3 years old, so if you haven't read it yet, you know. So the commentary here is the internal monologue, strike hard and fade into the night, father's mantra for ninjas. But there's a reason why he wanted us to do it together, always. Because as the world changes, the night easily can swallow you, and you can lose yourself. That's what it is. It's the night.
It's the night swallowing them.
That's what it is. But when you embrace change together, you won't just emerge. You won't just emerge back from the night.
That's a great page.
You will soar. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, okay. So that's what it's just the night. That's okay. Got it. I thought it was going to be this week again. Anytime I see weird mysticism things in these Turtles books, my first thought is Kitsune and Rat King. That annual, man, that was a good annual.
I will be rereading that. Well, I never read it the first time until now. This has just been sitting there. But yeah, that's way better. This is why I love doing this with you, Mike. Like, I do read these books. And I read them religiously for so long, but you always bring another angle to it for me, and I so appreciate that.
The fact that I'm the one that pointed out them going back to the red is...
It's because I didn't notice at all. It was, like, invisible.
Wait a minute.
I just noticed something here. I'm not going to spoil it because it comes up later. But I'm in the next trade, the page one, on my...
So Leo and Shredder.
So the last issue that we read in the continuity, Shredder, the spirit Shredder, revealed himself and he says, all right, boys, we're going to go. And Jenica, we're going to go out and do some training for what's coming up. Because Saki knows that Armageddon Game is coming and he's going to teach them some mysticism. Yep. And so this issue begins with them out in the woods, which I'm pretty sure is Northampton. Not sure. They haven't stated it yet. But I think the farmhouse shows up later.
Yeah, the farmhouse does show up.
Take a look at what's on Raphael's arm, his elbow. Can you tell what that is? So, I don't think...
That's a green bandana.
Yeah, you know who wears the green?
That's, it's not Slash.
No, he wears black. Alopex.
Alopex.
And I don't know. I mean, I do know because I read it, well, but yeah. I don't know why he's got it on now. So there's some stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Because yep. later it comes up that she's not going to be a part of this because yep. it's Shredder. That's why.
So I didn't notice that green bandana until I opened it here.
Yeah, just now?
Yep.
Huh.
It looked like a leaf.
So this actually must not be the this must be because this is probably the present.
Yeah.
Like right now. And then as we go into this, this must be. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yep. So they do say the first page of 131 is the present, and then this now, the second page is before.
And I love Saki's introduction. Mm-hmm. He's monologuing over them, over the front yes. page trading. Something terrible is coming. The Splinter Clan must be ready for it. I've been yep. watching over you, though I would rather leave you be. I've done enough harm to you. And so this is Saki coming to terms with his past and trying to make it right in whatever yep. way he can. But Alopex is not having it.
No, she's not having it at all. She's completely done because
he's irredeemable.
He's irredeemable in her eyes. 100%. Yep.
It is interesting to see the turtles accepting him too. Like I could imagine, I could see them in the same, with the same point of view as Alopex, but I wonder if it's because of the things that they've seen in their spirit journeys, those and that kind of like has that proven to them that he is as trustworthy as he says he is.
Yeah, I don't. That's one good thing about this our IDW series here is that. We know, and the people that have listened to us all these years know, that this comics in general aren't just villain of the week, aren't just Shredder scheme of the week. They have managed all these years to turn Saki into a character, especially now.
Yep.
With Yoshi gone. Like, they still need. They're still teenagers. Mm-hmm. They're still teenagers. They're not adults. This isn't 50 or 100 years in the future where there's only the last Ronin left. Like, you know, whatever. I don't know how far flung Ronin is and whatever, but like, you know. So they still need some sort of guidance, and he's trying to do the best that he can. He's doing
he told good. He told Hamato Yoshi he was going to do it.
Yeah.
I think this Oroku Saki is different from the Oroku Saki that was the Shredder, the one that was around for the first 100 issues, because that Shredder was the immortal one with the magic energy of that Foot Clan dragon inside of him, that Kitsune was thing. And I think he's free of that demon possession, whatever that was. So he's allowed to be himself where he never was.
Yeah.
Even when he was being a dirtbag to Hamato Yoshi in ancient Japan.
Yeah. Oh, so Kosai, I say, throw the bum out. Sorry. Cartoon logic flowing through my brain. What say you, oh wise, honorable sensei?
Throw the bomb. That's so racist now.
I know. Sorry,
folks. I mean, you know, they didn't know any better back then.
It's 1987. Yeah. And this is where Alopex goes off on Leo.
Yep.
And this is where she says, Shredder brainwashed you, Leo. And me. He burned down my home. Raph, he had me experimented on. You know, she just can't do it. She's just not having it. And she walks away. But does she, wait. So my question is that we don't see her take off her bandana. And we don't see where it is at all. So I can only assume... And those are Pepperoni's green spikes, so it isn't on Pepperoni's tail.
No, it maybe it's hanging from the coat rack and she doesn't take it or something.
That's fine. It's fine. It's whatever, but yeah. Oh, well, he's got it in his hand. Where'd it come from?
Off camera. He found it.
Okay, so Raff does what Raff does, and instead of going up to the rooftop and, you know, teaching a bunch of foot ninja the abridged book of ninja fighting, or telling them that they learned from the abridged book of ninja fighting, he goes out into the woods, and he sees these glowing eyes behind
him. Oh, and there's the red creeping into that, and he's facing some sort of demon,
yep,
which is what the turtles do.
Yep. Bishop and Hob. How does he get Bishop and Hob out of this?
Bishop experimented on him, and Hob is the one who, like, trained him to be a dirtbag.
Okay.
And abused him and took him away from his family.
I just wish the designs were more... I understand the designs are supposed to be nightmarish because it's a nightmare. I understand that. Because this is Raph's nightmare dream. I get it, but...
And that's the baby Bishop, the one that was the piloting the Bishop robot.
Oh, right. Okay. Ooh, that's very much too creepy. And then we get him dreaming of Alopex, or Nightmare Alopex, and you never think.
Yeah, that wasn't a win for
him. No, not at all.
And then we come to Mikey facing his demons.
Yep, Mikey facing his demons, and it turns out Mikey's demon is Slash. And,
yeah, Slash died, right?
Yep.
Sacrificed himself on Burnout Island.
Yep.
And the kids that he left behind. But I thought he saved the kids, but...
I thought he did, too.
I don't remember where the kids wound up. Or something.
I have no idea. And we get...
Shoot, that's gross. Oh.
Okay, which panel is gross?
Bottom left.
Yeah, that's a little... Oh, yeah. Whoops. Yep. Nope. Can't zoom in on... Got to zoom out on that next page. Yep.
Bebop and Rocksteady are torturing him, and they remove his shell again and beat him up. But Donnie actually manages to do some of the magic stuff to defeat his demons.
Yes.
Yep. But so he's using his chi... Whatever he's got.
Yeah, no, but this one was like,
yeah,
I don't know what it is, man. I know I've said this in many of our other episodes that we've done in the last 11 years for this specific, for the IDW TMNT books, but Bebop and Rocksteady and Donnie. Like, Donnie and Mikey have always been my two favorite turtles. Bebop and Rocksteady have always been more Rocksteady than Bebop, but those have always been my two favorite, I'll say, sub-villains, because Shredder and Krang and all that and whatever, they're higher villains. But, like, out of all the lower-tier villain, like, the second-tier villain, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Bebop and Rocksteady, especially with what they did to Donatello in this series. Oh, God.
Yeah, they were legitimate threats.
Yeah, absolutely. And just actually watching IDW craft their Bebop and Rocksteady's... and Rocksteady destroy everything. That was an amazing series. They got their own series. They got their own origin in this universe. Just absolutely love it. But this nightmare, oh man, this nightmare gave me nightmares. And then we get Jenny dreaming, or nightmaring, I should say. This was whack.
Yeah, this one was heavy. I think I know what they were alluding to, but they weren't saying what they were alluding to.
Yeah, this is very, 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 very heavy. And then we get everybody waking up, and the only one that didn't have a nightmare was Leo.
I didn't have one.
Yeah. Which begs the question as to why, and then we find out that answer later because of a certain character that's residing inside of Leonardo that I never thought we'd see again. Dun, dun, dun!
Yep. I didn't have a thin place vision like the others. I know that must mean something. Mm-hmm. I've been sensing much unease from you, Leonardo. I believe you have a particular capacity for black magic.
Yes. Which
isn't good.
No.
And you're fighting it. It's something you must learn. The seeds of this magic are already in you, as you probably know. And Leo says, you're talking about my dark self that you and Kitsune created. Yes, and I'm sorry for that. But you must do battle with him again. Yeah, that can't be a weight that Leo carries.
Well.
What, yeah, he, well, I think he's got to overcome it. He's got to move past it. He can't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point of where he's going with that. And it gives a good reason as to why Leo would hold back in certain ways involving that darker self. So all of that is an obstacle that Saki, I think, is going to help him with.
Yep, absolutely. Which, again, I like that, again, we have... it's not a status quo. It's not the same status quo as we always had, because Saki is completely different than Yoshi was, obviously.
Yep.
And Saki is not their father, obviously. But
that's a great alter by Eastman as he taps through it. Yes. But yeah, Saki's not the father that Hamato Yoshi is, but
yeah, no,
it is really awesome to see him as a father figure.
Yes.
In this issue.
Absolutely. And again, teaching the turtles, the four brothers specifically, as well as also teaching a former Foot Clan student, now a turtle, like that's just so cool. And yes, this cover by Kevin is great. God, look at that. Talk about a piece of art. That's amazing.
That is definitely one of his better ones. One of his top ones, let's say it that way. That's a top piece.
Absolutely. And, oh, God. Get out your tissues, folks. You heard it at the beginning of the podcast. I put in the clip of put those away. Well, I'm going to put in the rest of the clip at some point around here where we get to the scene of where Hamato Yoshi shows up, because the cover for this issue done by Pablo Tunica, he nailed it. He fucking nailed it. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody, close your eyes and concentrate. Mm. Concentrate hard.
I am proud of you, my sons. Tonight, you have learned the final and greatest truth of the ninja. That ultimate mastery comes not of the body, but of the mind. Together, there is nothing your four minds cannot accomplish. Help each other, draw upon one another, and always remember the true force that binds you. The same as that which brought me here tonight. That which I gladly return with my final words. I love you all, my sons.
It's a send-up image. Not a send-up. That's when you make fun of something.
It's a
reference to, an homage to the 1990 movie where Splinter shows up as the forest ghost in the campfire.
Yeah, the fire spirit.
Yep.
And he did such a great job. I mean, granted, this is more greenish blue it's more greenish than bluish fire on Splinter on this cover, but the way that he did the turtles on this is great. Absolutely love that. The only thing I'll say now about this is clearly we can tell that Jenica feels out of place.
You think?
Yeah. She when after this event happens in the issue, she walks away like, I don't know about this. Because I don't think she never met Splinter, did she? Or did she?
I think so, because she worked for the Foot Clan when the Foot Clan was handed over to...
Okay. Yeah.
The new, well, Hamato Yoshi, the new master. So I think so. And you know, this is a okay. long time ago for us.
Yeah. That's a long time ago for us, folks. Sorry. My brain doesn't work so good anymore.
Mine does work, and I still don't know.
So we open with Leo and Dark Leonardo. I don't remember the story arc for Dark Leonardo the first time around.
I don't remember how they captured him to brainwash him.
Yeah.
But I know it's dark magic and Kitsune involved.
Yeah, I remember, but I'll look it up. When we do the ad break, folks, I'll look up the Dark Leonardo stuff, so I'll have the answers in the outro. If I remember, because I'm old and my brain doesn't work. What are you doing here? What were you thinking? How could you lead your family into the hands of blah, 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 blah? Of your greatest enemy. It's what our father wanted. So Leo is fighting with himself between Leo and Dark Leo and all that. I like the design of Dark Leo. So that's cool. Yeah,
always been cool. Which, whose mask ended up in the hands of Slash.
Yep. Absolutely. So we go back to Saki and the titles and the trees and the blades and the bees and all the other stuff. And
they're in a weird spirit land, I think, with those mushrooms and flying critters.
Mushrooms, flying critters, and kryptonite. Rest in peace, Gene Hackman.
The five elements which the mystic arts and nature itself are tied. Okay.
Okay, then. Well, there's five turtles, so five.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Five petals on his little sakura leaf that they're drawing.
I swear that looks like the dragon heart thing that's in the back of Venus. You know what I'm talking about, the dragon scales.
Yep.
Except in this case it's green, not red.
The turtles are set out to grab some of these green crystals and make a little totem. Decorate it, create it artistically.
Yes.
And I love that Michelangelo, who has no artistic talent, has clumped mud and sticks and tied them around the rock. And well, Leo's is beautiful and ornate, and Michelangelo makes a little doll looking thing. So like you get to see the personality of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then
they
plant them into this sakura leaf, cherry blossom leaf design that Saki drew on the ground, and they turn into these crystalline little totems. With a dumpy looking one in the middle that I hope ends up being Raph's.
Well, you know, Raph is a Humpty Dumpty kind of guy. So. not all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Raph back together again. Well done. And all of these totems now grow. God. Makes me think of Power Rangers Rita throwing down her wand. Now make my monster grow!
They're going to fight that little totem in the end of the...
that's right.
Leo's back to confronting himself or inhabiting his alternate self.
Yep.
It's like the other turtles are... The next few pages are of the turtles getting individual training with Saki. Working on those crazy hand gestures that are going to unlock their... magic powers.
Yeah, which I like. I liked especially the Jenica stuff. I like him. I like seeing this page with him and Jenica next to the barn. So the this is the barn. I'm assuming it's Northampton, even though it never says it. But I'm assuming IDW. You can tell us if we're wrong. We'll admit it when we're wrong or when I'm wrong specifically. Yeah, I love seeing him work with her because, again, that's full circle. She was a Foot Clan member. She's now Clan Hamato. So that's good. Like you said, Dark Leo, Leo. I like the conclusion that they come to out of all of this Leo, Dark Leo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, instead of you going in to possess him, he has to come out and possess you, kind of. I think that's kind of cool. I think that's fun. And I like Don going in and, number one, he knows the technical jargon of everything, but he also is starting to understand all the spiritual stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not totally closed-minded to just figure out the tech anymore. So that's very good. And then, man, you want to talk about a breakthrough. Saki and Raph, this was cool. This was so good. I sense you just do really want to help. I think I get it now. Like, that was a nice page.
Yeah, I realized it with this page here. Saki is targeting their weaknesses, and it's Donnie's analytical mind. Well, there's this world of spirituality. Raph, you attack before you understand your villain. I'm going to teach you how to be receptive. Yep. So open yourself up to me. Oh, I sense that you want to help. Like, oh gosh, okay. And Leo's weakness is Dark Leo.
Yep. Mikey's weakness is pizza.
Don't touch that. No, that's not in the books, folks. And then with Leo, he's, you know, is stuck in the fever dream battling himself again. And it ends with Dark Leo in a hole and Leo saying, you'll stay there until I need you.
Yeah.
Which is, that's interesting. So he's not getting rid of them. He's not destroying them, not locking him away.
Yeah.
He's going to use him when he needs him.
Yep. And this pay, oh man. Cue the scene, folks. You'll hear the audio from TMNT 1990 right here.
Don't worry, I came prepared. Put those away.
Here we go. Put those things away.
I gotta say, it would take me a moment to focus on it, but if I could think of the sound effects and the music leading up to that, I bet I know Splinter's whole speech.
Uh-huh.
That's
why I want to put the audio. That's why I'm
you do that, so I don't have to.
Exactly. That's why I put the audio in, so we didn't have to worry about. Because that's the thing. I put the audio at the beginning of the podcast about the put those things away. At the very beginning of the podcast, I'm putting Splinter's speech in. Just people already just heard that, so so that way we wouldn't have to fumble around and fuck it up.
Yep.
But yeah, so. I can't believe when did IDW originally start doing Turtles? 2011, 2012?
Yep. 2011 sounds right.
2011.
That's when my son was born, and that was when the comics started.
Okay.
So I was reading that as he was in his little car carrier.
14 years ago. I never thought in 14 years that they would do a Splinter fire scene from the movie. Never thought they would ever do this. Never thought, but it's here. Holy crap. There it is. Now, I said at the beginning of this that the cover, or the beginning of this issue here that we're talking about, that the cover design looked more bluish green, or more greenish blue, and it is. This here in the interior is obviously blue Splinter.
Yep.
The way he should be.
Hmm.
And damn. I can't say any of these words. I won't be able to hold it together. Just Read this comic, folks. This is TMNT, IDW Publishing, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, issue number 132. Just read it. That's all there is to it. Yeah, you can watch the 1990 film. That's a great film, obviously. We love that movie. But if you've been reading along with this series, read this damn book. Because, wow. Because of how it ties in. Because you think about this. This issue, this scene, and everything this family has been through. From the time they were human, to the time they were mutated, to the time reincarnated, technically. But all of the stuff that this family has been through to this point now. Oh, it's so much fucking emotion.
Yep. And it's, you know, I say it all the time. The turtles are strongest when they're together. And
absolutely.
And they draw upon one another even when you are apart. Yeah. And when they forget to do that is when they fall apart. And it's super interesting to me to compare this run to the Mirage run in volume 4, where the four turtles are very clearly going off in different directions. I don't think they're anywhere near each other for a number of issues, and it doesn't look like they're going to get back together, and how that might parallel how Laird was working alone without Eastman, and they never came back to that book together to bring the characters back together.
Right.
They've done it other ways in other stories, but not in that original comic, and how keeping them together, despite how different they are and despite their different personalities and their different priorities, how important that is to the core of who they are.
Yeah.
Totally important.
Yeah, absolutely. So we get this final scene of, "Father, don't go. We miss you. I miss you all as well, but never forget that I love you all." And he goes, "Now this is what I'm talking about."
Mm-hmm.
"Look at them and look at Jenny. Look at them. Look at all of their faces. Look at her face. She's kind of sad. Look at this panel. Mikey and Raph are hugging. Donnie and Leo are consoling. Jenny is kind of standing off to the side. I'm not saying she doesn't care. I'm saying she doesn't have the same emotions. She doesn't have the same time that obviously the four brothers have had with their father."
Mm-hmm.
"Like, she doesn't have the same, she has a connection to Splinter. I'm not saying she never did. I'm just saying her emotional reaction," I almost said baggage, but reaction, "is different than theirs is." And rightfully so. It just looked to me when I read this earlier today to do the podcast, it just looked to me like she was distant of it all.
Yeah, it almost makes me wish that Force Ghost Splinter would have addressed that, because while she is a turtle and now the fifth turtle, she's not his daughter.
Yeah.
They're not her brothers. But like, how in do they pull her, and how do they include her in that group? And maybe that is a legit criticism, that they aren't bringing her into the family and showing that the turtles have adopted her as one of their own. You know what I mean? Like, she's obviously a turtle, but she's not.
Yeah.
I don't want her to be othered. I want her to be brought in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
I'm looking back through this scene because I want to see the full reaction. And see, look, right here. She's just kind of awe-inspired by it.
Looks more almost worried.
Yeah.
But not.
She's kind of got a shock face here. Yeah. She's not like O-faced, but she's kind of got a shock face in that one. And then we get to the panel that I just mentioned, the end panel. And that's just the backpacks, them coming back. And this is what she says. "The barn still isn't fixed. You know, I still think about that day all the time."
I bet she attacked that. That was Koya and...
Yeah, Koya, yep, back of the barn. "Yeah, her. My first mission, crazy, huh? So now she's talking about her past.
Yep.
Yep. Whew. And so we get to, it just takes some time to get it all fixed. Are you all ready? Then let's go. It's time to gather the others.
Oh, you know what yours doesn't have in the bottom corner of that page?
To be
mine
continued.
Says to be continued in the Armageddon game, number one.
Yep, mine doesn't have it. The trade doesn't have it.
It'll be interesting to see what the reading order says is the next book.
Yeah, because mine has this.
Yep. This was neat. So this was the free comic book day.
Yeah.
The front cover of that, when you went to the comic store and got this for free, it's an homage to the issue number one, Turtles, with four of them on the rooftop.
Yep.
But they're not wearing masks. They're wearing masks over their faces. And they're white. And the weapons are in different locations. Like the one up front that used to be Leo. You're looking at a color thing on your page. The free comic book day has the four.
Oh, okay.
The white turtles.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know what that issue is. Oh, that's probably an alternate cover for the issue 132.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That you're looking at. What's the next thing? Oh, yeah. What is the next page?
Next page.
Oh, you don't have a cover. So the cover of that book is the homage to issue number one, but it's these weird white turtles that we haven't seen before.
Okay.
That they happen to allude to the existence of.
Oh, yeah. That's what this is.
So, yep. And this is art, colors, and letters by Sophie, which this is interesting also for me because this is not the familiar art that we have seen from Sophie. She's deliberately duplicating the style of the old Mirage comic, the heavy blacks.
Yep.
And that's why this is lettered by her, because these aren't letters typed onto the computer. These are hand-drawn letters.
Right.
And she's duplicating Kevin Eastman's handwriting, because Eastman did the lettering
for the old series. Yeah.
And so what this also confused me here, that the top panel, that's Venus with her stitched on mask.
Yep.
I think she's watching this go down with these four turtles in white masks.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. So that's the whole thing about this. Venus is watching this alternate thing happen.
And right now we don't know if this is alternate universe or what. Like,
we're
completely
know.
In the dark.
Yeah.
And the first paragraph of this, Leonardo holds his sai in a relaxed, ready position. To his left, Donatello and Michelangelo follow suit with nunchaku and katanas. Raphael guards his right side. I can see his body quivering with tense energy, waiting to be triggered into a savage, slashing release. So, like, their weapons are mixed up and their names are mixed up, and they don't look like our turtles.
No.
But it's the whole thing is a homage to issue one. Like, these are panel for panel duplication with these weird changes. And that next two page spread, one of the favorite drawings of the Ninja Turtles, but done up with these new weird variations. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Campbell and Waltz, after Eastman and Laird. So they know what they're doing.
That's a nice credit. That's an awesome credit. That's great. That's great. That's what I love about this. Yeah, that's what I love. Stand down. You're either in violation of the citywide mutant quarantine or guilty of gross stupidity if those turn out to be turtle costumes.
They are.
Wait.
All right. Primatine there?
No.
Clear that up?
No. He's about to find out they're not wearing costumes.
Love it.
But no, man, I was so... We all know that, and I've said it a million times, and I will continue to say a million times, I was a cartoon kid, I was not a comic kid. I don't know if you and I will ever cover the old books. Mm-hmm. Because it's just not my thing.
They get weird, too. It's hard. There's an abridged list that I would give to somebody to say, these are the issues that you need to hit.
Right. I understand
and
that.
For that.
But. And I liked having said that the upteenth time over the last 11 years of you and I covering the IDW books, I like what they did with this. If this is the way, which I know this is not the case, if this was the way the old books were done, I would probably dig in, but
this is issue one is fantastic. And yeah. issues 2, 3, and 4 are very familiar to anybody who's watched the cartoons or read this comic or done that. Yeah. It's that story. And those are good and interesting, and you can see that Eastman and Laird were paying homage to things. But as soon as the Turtles took off in pop culture, they kind of stepped away from the book and let other creators take the Turtles. And there's like 50 issues in the middle of that first Turtle run that yeah. are not in continuity, and they're weird. They're really weird. And it was a bunch of black and white creators that they liked saying, hey, go play with our characters because our book is selling 50,000 copies a month and get some exposure. Here you go. Because Eastman and Laird have always supported the black and white movement and indie comics. So there's a bunch of indie comic creators that did an issue of Turtles in the day. And so it doesn't make any sense until you get to like issue 50 where they jumped back on the book to wrap it up.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. But, yeah, how do we want to handle this? Because this was weird in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I understand they were homaging the old mm-hmm. style. I'm not used to reading Turtles like this. This is not... And I understand, just like the annual, it's different. Uh-huh. It's to get new readers in. But even on a free comic book day issue... This is not what I would have done to get new readers to read, because this is not how the standard IDW Turtles books go.
Yep. So, yeah, and you kind of got to be in on the joke.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be in on the joke.
Or you've got to be familiar with the other series to know, oh, EPF, wait, we know those guys.
Uh-huh.
And yep. we know Venus. So, yeah, yep. this is a little confusing. I love this book. I love what they did. And I want to find out about these white turtles because I think I know where they're going with them, but I don't. I haven't read the conclusion, so I don't know.
Where is the conclusion?
It's somewhere in Armageddon Game.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get there.
Yep.
We will get there. I don't know. This is not my territory, folks. So I don't know how we want to summarize this. It's not that long. It's a free comic book. I'm thinking too hard about this. I'm thinking about this in the way that I would think about issue 131, 132, 133, where it's a 28-page comic. I'm not thinking where it's like a 6-page comic because it's
free. Well, mine is a 23-page comic because after that page where Venus is done watching this happen.
Mm-hmm.
I have a reprint of Turtles number one,
right,
with the duo shade, and it's not the complete reprint, but it is a reprint of the pages that they just referenced. So right. You can see the panel for panel thing that Sophie was doing. So right. I'm not counting the pages, but it feels like a full size comic. The free comic book day one, which is if you don't get it on free comic book day, they're gonna charge you money for it. It's obnoxious to me that this and other free comic book day issues have been very hard for me to find because I don't go out Saturday morning when I should. My comic book store is it's not for me. It's for the people that don't read books. Go there.
What?
Well, yeah, free comic book day is so that costs the store money when free comic book day comes around. They have to purchase those books and they have to give them away.
Right. So here's what you do.
Yeah.
You go in, you get your free books.
Uh huh.
And then you buy like 3 Funko Pops. You're still the store money.
I go on Wednesday and get my book and say, hey, when that Turtle book comes out, can you for a free comic book day, can you put it in my pull bin? And then I just pick it up a week later.
Oh, okay.
Because I do frequent the comic stores. I think Free Comic Book Day, the spirit of it is that you bring your 2 kids and their friends in who don't read comics, and you get comics together. That's kind of like in my fantasy land. That's how that day should be treated. And it depends on your comic book store. Some comic book stores say, "Here, take all of them, whatever you want." And some comic book stores are like, "Which one do you want?"
Yeah.
And that's always a little sad sometimes. In Grand Rapids, Michigan here, we are blessed with having like 11 comic stores. Yep. And so there are some people that hit all of them for free comic book day just to get the things they want. But Yeah, I loved this this issue.
Yeah, it was very fun. Very, very fun. And honestly, folks, like, getting this digitally, it should not cost digital retailers. You should not have to pay. Like, if you were going to get this digitally, it should be a free digital comic book.
Interesting, yeah.
That's the point. I'm going to, when we take the ad break, I'm going to go look this up on Amazon and see if it actually is free, because it should be. So there's that. We've got all the variant covers back in the back of the trade here. I love this one from who is this
Abel?
Person? Abel, yep. Never heard of this person, but I love it. Look, it's got Splinter and Shredder with the turtles in the front. That's very cool. So yeah, very, very, very awesome. That's a classic Shredder. That's a classic Red Cape Shredder.
For $10,000, you can have your own variant printed.
Oof. Woo.
A comic book store would do that. They'd, you know, hire the artist and then pay the money to print the minimum number that IDW needs to print. And so comic book stores will do that for special issues where they know they're going to make their money back.
Oof, that's a little rough there, I think.
It is. Well, but those variants like that, when they are so limited for a comic store, you mm-hmm. can sell them for $50 a piece.
That's true.
Because there's those completionists out there, especially with these turtle books, that yeah. are buying every variant.
Yeah.
Sorry, listeners, I have to open my sticky bag here. Oh, nope, it didn't make any noise. Usually it goes...
Oh, boy.
And so, now they are sealed away for posterity.
Yes, for posterity, he says. Right.
Now I'm going to read them in trades from now on.
See? I told you.
They're going to go get archived.
Yep. Wait for the trade. You always got to wait for the trade, everybody. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. What would you rate overall the entirety of Volume 6 Game Changers?
After these podcasts, I always rate them higher than I would have before the podcast. So, yeah, thank you, Mike, for helping me walk through these books a second time and helping me notice all of the things that I didn't notice. I'll help you recognize the old book references. You help me recognize
there you go.
When I completely overlook an important theme. Yeah, it's another five, I think, for that wonderful standalone story.
Yeah.
And then Shredder being the father figure and getting to connect with Splinter again. And then the awesome issue number one homage.
Yeah.
These are not your usual filler issues.
No. They aren't even filler issues at all. They're storytelling.
Yeah, exactly. Any other book, these would be boring filler issues that don't matter.
Yeah, but no.
I've never been this moved by the Daredevil annuals that I've read. The annuals are out there. I bet those annuals happen just to give the main writer and the main artist a break.
Oh god. Yeah, probably.
A much deserved break, don't get me wrong, but uh-huh, uh-huh. I bet that's why.
Oh man. And folks, anytime this comic can make me stumble and not even read from the words, you know it's fucking good.
Yeah.
Anytime, like, there have been time and time again in the last 11 years out of the 12 years that we've been doing this podcast, out of the 20 or so, or 22 or 24 or 20, however many podcast episodes, the Turtles books that we've been doing for the... If it can shut me up and basically make me stumble over everything and not talk properly, you know it's good. If it can reference anything and everything from anything that I've known before in this franchise, you know it's good. Literally, they didn't do it word for word, but literally, they brought in the movie scene of Splinter in the fire and the campfire and the marshmallows and to put those things away. I've said that like, I guarantee you right now, even though we're so far into this podcast, I guarantee you somebody's going to start a drinking game every time I said, put those things away. So next time when you hear Joe and I in the next episode of the podcast will be TMNT Reborn Volume 7, Isolation. This collects issues 133 through 139.
Thank you for relieving me of the pressure of needing to read Armageddon Game between each issue.
Oh, hell no.
I'm not doing that. I don't know how I'm going to do this, Mike. So, I feel like I have to.
Stop. Stop it. More behind the scenes stuff, folks. We went back and forth with the TMNT IDW continuity over the link that I have had for years that shows the continuity of the story order of how the issues are released. And Armageddon Game fits in between each of several of the issues. It started with this trade paperback. Hence why at the end of this, it says that it's going to continue with the Armageddon Game. Hence why Shredder Orokosaki references the Armageddon Game. So we are not going to interweave the Armageddon Game.
That would be stupid.
No, we're not doing that. No, we're going to treat.
I might.
No, you're not. If you do, I'm gonna hail an Uber to Michigan, make you pay for it. I'm gonna stay with you for like a week and a half. We're gonna record all these things in person, and we're gonna not record Armageddon Game until the fucking end.
Yeah, because I can't be sitting here going, oh, that's the why they said that, because Armageddon.
No, don't, this issue, no, number two. Don't, and stop. Folks, the way we're doing this inside the pullbag,
which is exactly the way we should do it. I agree with you, Mike.
Told you so. Next episode.
Don't know if I can do it.
Do it. Do it right the first time.
Yeah.
Episode 577 is Volume 7, Isolation. Episode 578 is Volume 8, Damage Done. I can already tell you right now, folks, in episode 578, as a lifelong, born and bred in Boston, Massachusetts, Red Sox fan, I am going to be saying, do damage done, Red Sox rule throughout that entire fucking podcast. Because as soon as I saw the title of Damage Done, I'm like, go Sox! And then in episode 579, we're going to do the Armageddon Game all at once.
Yes.
And then in episode 580, we will finish the series with issues 144 to 150 with Volume 9, First, Last, and Always.
Wasn't that the name? No.
Yes,
no.
It was.
The name of the Power Rangers?
Yes, it was.
Oh, shoot.
Yes, it was.
Man, you knew what I was going to say.
Yep, absolutely. So that's what's coming up, folks. That's what's coming up here inside the pullbag. We are having a blast, as always, doing these comics. And we're going to take a quick ad break. We're going to come back with our ratings for this and close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at geekcastradio.com and youtube.com/@ Captain Ruggles, or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Don't worry, I came prepared. Put those away.
All right, folks, we are back here in episode 576 of The Pullbag. And this was Game Changers, TMNT Reborn, Volume 6. 0 to 5 with half points. What are you going to give it?
This one's a 5.
Absolutely, 5 all the way. Any final thoughts from you, sir, before I run through the closing?
No, I got everything out I needed to before the break. I love that Free Comic Book Day issue. And yeah, if you can't find the original, they make trades. Yep. They make trades.
They make trades.
We'll find the trade.
Always wait for the trade, folks. Which reminds me, I meant to look this up. Yes, friends, it's the new Turbo Ginsu.
It dices, it slices, it makes french fries in 3D. Whoops.
Whoops.
Kids.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
The
rent free in my brain.
That's right. I'm going to have to watch that movie tonight, I think, if I didn't have to record a third podcast after this. Like literally right after this. But yes, folks, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Free Comic Book Day 2022 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Armageddon Game Kindle and Comixology is free on Amazon with that cool cover with the, as Joe so eloquently put it, the white turtles, even though only their masks and bandanas are white, masks and turtlenecks. Can a turtle wear a turtleneck?
Yeah, they're COVID masks. I wonder, they're not actually COVID, but they were, but they look like that.
You did not just, oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
There is a variant cover of the four turtles wearing COVID masks somewhere.
Oh my God, no. Okay, but yes, folks, the 2022 Free Comic Book Day issue is free digitally on the Kindle store, Comixology store on Amazon. So it is free. You don't have to go to eBay or wherever you can get your comics at ungodly prices. The digital version is free on Amazon right now. So there's that. And before I screw this podcast up anymore, thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can also check out shop.geekcastradio.com, where you can buy all of our stuff. T-shirts up to 4XL, gamer mats or pads or something. We got mugs. We got other stuff over there as well. Steve Megatron's adding new stuff all the time. You can send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out in any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio, @ThePullbag. I am @TFG1Mike. You don't still tweet, do you?
Nope.
I figured. Yep.
But I don't know how to do that either. You can find me at facebook.com/geekstuffgaragesale. If you message the page, that's me. Or you can even message me at my Instagram. My username there is Mr. Reed's Hawaiian Shirt with underscores in between each word, because I like colors.
Yes, yes, he does. Even though he didn't see the red bandanas.
Yeah.
So become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. You can also check out the Pullbag over there as well. Join us next time when we will be discussing TMNT Reborn Volume 7, Isolation, covering issues 133 to 139 of IDW Publishing's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. For now, I am TFG1Mike with...
Joe Reed.
As always, make your greatest game in the comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.